Today's podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
All right, let's get it going right here, right now. This is Diamond Conversations, and you are listening to another episode of Diamond Conversations on the Place to Be Nation podcasting network. And if you didn't know by now, my name is Chad, and every single week I bring you a Diamond Conversation with somebody involved in the world of professional baseball. And this week it is taking a turn and heading back to the Diamond with free agent pitcher Tim Dillard joining me today. Now, Tim Dillard is a current free agent in the 2019 free agent class. If your team is looking for a pitching superstar that not only can get it done on the mound, but also can keep it light in the clubhouse, this is the man for your squad. And of course, we know everybody, anybody who's everybody in the baseball world is listening to Diamond Conversations. But Tim Dillard joining me today to just have a damn good time and have a couple of laughs and talk about not only his career, where he has pitched in the major leagues for the Milwaukee Brewers, also this past season in the Texas Rangers organization with his hometown Nashville Sounds, but talking about the impact that he's had from the viral video point of view, talking about his just absolutely hilarious social media accounts, whether it's Instagram, whether it's on Twitter. This guy likes to have fun, and we talk about it in such great detail from top to bottom, including actually being banned from Twitter due to some nefarious means, quote unquote. But we'll get into that in the interview. But, you know, I'll tell you what, when I was doing the research for the interview with Tim Dillard, there's many a times where it gets very serious. There's many times where you're really digging through some box scores and looking at notes and looking at game highlights. But for this one, just to kind of get to see the personality shine of Tim Dillard in these videos that he's created with all his teammates from past seasons and different teams, it just was so cool. And that was really the basis of where we were going to go with the interview, was how you basically could effectively use social media to not only promote yourself and promote your brand, but also to show another side of the professional athlete. And one thing that Tim does in the interview is his personality shines so much so that I felt like it was almost like beaming through the microphone, and the smile was on my face the whole time because everything he said was just making me laugh. But I think you'll feel the same way after you're done listening to this. And just not even scratching the surface in terms of what he's seen in his professional career, kind of doing a condensed version of that. But one of the things that I really just wanted to dig into was him being a second generation baseball superstar and his dad being a former infielder throughout the late 70s and early 80s, and getting to see, you know, basically his dad retired just before he was born. So it's like he had a built-in coach from the get-go, and the relationship that he has with his dad and kind of talking about the impact that he's had was a huge, huge highlight of this chat. And I hope really conveys to you listening that this is a guy that has a lot of fun and it's in his blood. And that is really one of the finer points of the interview that we've got here today with Tim Dillard. But the one thing you want to do after listening to this is head to his social media, head to his website, and it's all under the name Dim Tillard. Okay, Dim Tillard. So D-I-M-T-I-L-L-A-R-D. Now, I myself have confused the ever-living hell out of the process of uploading episodes and uploading little transcripts, because Dim Tillard was on my brain the whole entire time, so I kept on flipping the letters of Tim Dillard while doing so. So it's kind of another funny little extension of this guy's personality, is that he definitely he keeps you on your feet, that's for sure. But I really appreciate Tim's time joining me so fast on such short notice. Honestly, knocked me off my feet that we turned the interview around as quick as we did, but it was a lot of fun, and I really hope you enjoy and follow the career of Tim Dillard, because like I said, he is a free agent in the 2019 class. And any team that is looking for somebody, whether it is a starter or a reliever, I think this is a guy that you would want to add to your team in 2020 and going forward. So I guess really that's enough out of me. If you're listening to this, you're listening to us on the Place to Be Nation podcasting network. And if you want to reach out to me on social media, you can do so by hitting me up on the old Twitter machine. My personal account is at Chad Ian B, and the account for the show is at Diamond Converse One. And if you're on Facebook, just look up the Diamond Conversations Baseball podcast page. Give it a like. You'll see the links. You'll see maybe a little preview or two for the upcoming episodes. As a one-man band here, trying to do everything that I can to get the word out about this podcast. And got a lot of really cool content coming in the following weeks as we head to 2020 and beyond. This is honestly my favorite podcast that I am on every single week, because this is so different for me coming from the wrestling world over the last 5 years. I love doing this show. So please indulge me. Listen to every one of them. If you've missed a few episodes, go back and take a listen too, because you will not be disappointed. And that's enough out of me. Let's wrap it up nice and get over into this interview with free agent pitcher extraordinaire Tim Dillard. Casually in here, back on Diamond Conversations. So happy to be joined here by pitching extraordinaire, currently a free agent, a social media sensation, whether he's getting banned from Twitter or making you laugh, just quite frankly. Just happy to be joined today by Tim Dillard. Tim, thanks so much for coming on.
No, that's awesome. You keep saying words like sensational and things like that. Like, I'll be on here all day.
That's the wrestling side of me. I tend to borrow a lot of the key words from the wrestling world. So sensational, you're exceptional, you're stupendous, all the good ones.
Yeah, I'm 36 in the baseball world. That's hard to keep those words going.
Yeah, well, there you go. I'm 36 outside the baseball world, and I know exactly what you mean. So it's all good. But yeah, just kind of rolling in here into the winter months, the holiday season, but the hot stove season. So as a free agent pitcher yourself, how do you kind of approach the off season and looking at what may be ahead for you? You know, you're in the Texas Rangers organization last year, but what's kind of ahead for you and how you approach the winter time?
Man, I got no idea. that's the short version. That's like everybody. Anytime you're a six-year free agent, and I'm a minor league six-year free agent, so that pretty much means that I'm just, unemployed. But like that's kind of what everyone's going through at this time, and free agency is really hard. So, over the years, this is probably like my 10th time to go through it. So I deal with it better each year, the unknowing, like what do you do when you don't know what's next? And so now I'm to the point where I kind of just live my life, whatever I got to do that day. I try not to look too far ahead. Especially the stuff that you really can't control. So for me, I'm working out, trying to get the arm back in shape, trying to see if I can find a job and, able to use my abilities. And I don't know, about 5 or 6 years ago, I went to the winter meetings, and asked for a job there and ended up getting one. So, I'm when I'm desperate, man, that's when I shine.
That's not a bad thing at all, you to kind of get some FaceTime, that's the way I look at it, is FaceTime more than anything. But it's an interesting time too for not only just being a free agent, but also a reliever, because this year they start the new rule where the reliever's got to face a minimum number of batters. So I don't know if that kind of affects how teams go into looking for talent or looking for somebody to bring in. So do you kind of like look at some of these changes and see how you may fit for somebody?
I didn't even know they were going to do that this year. And the major leagues are doing that?
Yeah, this year. Okay. It's a new three-batter rule.
We did it last year. We did it last year in the minor leagues.
Yes.
Yeah, so we've kind of already been introduced. The first day, we had a team meeting, and our manager in AAA, we were talking, and it was just pitchers and catchers meeting. And so we're talking, and it's like, anybody got any questions? And people are asking like these random questions. I was like, hey, what about the three-batter rule? And they're like, what about it? And they're like, oh, yeah, well, if you come in, you got to face three batters. And so everyone's like, okay. And so I was like, I raised my hand again. They're like, what do you want, Dillard? And I'm like, okay, well, let's say I come into an inning and I strike a guy out, which is, you know, doesn't happen very often. Let's just say that happens. And I, you know, do I come back out and I have to face two hitters, or what does that mean? And they're like, we don't know. Like, what is the rule there? So what you find out is you can come in and face one batter, two batters, or three batters. And when the inning's over, as long as you don't go back out, then you can bring somebody else in. So if you go in and pitch and get one out, you can go sit down. They can bring another pitcher in for the next inning. But if you do go back out, you have to face two hitters. If you face one hitter and you go sit in the dugout, your team hits, you got to come back out and face two hitters. I don't know. I mean, we didn't know because it was kind of a new thing. So I don't think that teams actually know what this is going to imply, you know, to a certain extent until they see it. And I really didn't see much change. Maybe small strategic stuff, but in AAA, that doesn't really matter. But in the big leagues, you know, that can matter a little bit. But if I'm a decision maker, I want the best pitchers, regardless of matchups. So I would say it's not going to change a whole lot.
It's just very interesting to me because, yeah, you know, you look at guys that are, you know, a lefty specialist, you come in, you're here to get the left-handed batter. Well, what if, like, you get the left-handed batter out? Yeah, you, or you're supposed to get the left-handed batter out, and then, you know, you don't get him out. Now there's four righties, you know, like, you, I guess you just got to kind of say a prayer and get through the inning if the inning's going to continue. But I didn't even know that about the inning affecting whether or not they come back. So that's hey, you know, that's another new one,
yeah,
to learn.
Hey, we're all in this together trying to learn. No, I will say this, like, you know, you have those, yeah, I don't know if it's going to affect the National League or American League more or whatever, but it will affect the pitcher. Because just like you said, if it's a key moment and they bring you in because you have to get that, you know, the guy out. If I'm a right-handed sidearmer, which I am, if I come in to face the righty and then, you know, there's a lefty on deck and then they pinch hit another lefty, well, I got to face these two lefties. And so it's just another rule that kind of puts the pitcher at a disadvantage. I would say the biggest one that I saw last year was the baseball itself. The baseball in the big leagues has changed over the last probably 4 or 5 years. It's really hard. I mean, guys are just – look at the home run rate. You know, there's, yeah, teams that are just, you know, crushing their, you know, their organizational record. You know, I think there was like 15 or 16 that did it last year. And one thing that I saw is that if you're going to throw the way some of these pitchers are throwing, high velocity, up in the zone, 12-6 curveball that everybody wants, those are fly ball pitchers. Spin rate, those are guys that hit, you know, those are for fly ball outs and strikeouts. But these fly balls are going out. They're going out at an alarming rate. And AAA just started using the big league baseball last year, and it doubled. Actually, it went up 54%. Home runs went up 54% across the board. And you look at that stuff and say, well, how do you combat that? You know, it's more regulation, more rules that kind of put the pitcher at a disadvantage. But me, ironically, had one of my best seasons ever because I think, here's my theory, I think the sinker slider guy is going to come back. I think ground balls are going to be probably as coveted as a strikeout. I think those are the pitchers that people are going to want.
Yeah, I would absolutely think that because if this home run thing continues, you know, there's going to be a lot of guys on the trainer's table with a sore neck because it's unbelievable. I mean, I can tell you, you know, as a Met fan, the Mets set an all-time record for guys hitting over 20 home runs in a single season. I think it was like 5 or 6 guys that hit, yeah, 20-plus home runs, and that's, you know, that's crazy. And
that's,
so there
was pretty rare.
So now you think that this is something that's going to continue with the ball? You think the ball is going to – we're going to see some alterations this year? Do you think we're going to see more of this, you know, massive – home run just boom that we're in right now?
I mean, I guess I would have to say it probably will stay consistent. You know, at AAA and the big leagues, I think you're just going to see more consistent play of what it's going to look like going forward. Hitters in AAA are going to see how the ball flies before they get to the big leagues, and pitchers vice versa. You know, and I think it's just going to change how we evaluate. You know, if you're going to pay a guy so much amount of money for hitting 30 home runs, you know, now it's going to change. It's like, well, now you have to hit 40 to be that guy and make that money. You know, if you're a reliever, which is, you know, one of the toughest jobs in baseball, you know, to be good at, and your career ERA has been a 2.5 and last year it was a 3.5. Well, you know, you're going to have to just, if you're going to pay guys money, you're going to have to accept that, well, we're not going to find the guys that have really low ERAs. They have to be going up.
Yeah.
So that's all it is. It's going to change a little bit how people evaluate stats. You know, some of the best pitchers in the league have, you know, the average ERA is, let's say, this, and it's probably going to, you know, get higher and higher as the years go on. So anyway, I just try to keep the ball out of the air.
That's very good. Yeah. Keep it on the ground for sure. and let the let your fielders do the talking. So how was last season for you, being in the Texas Rangers organization? You're a longtime Milwaukee Brewer product, but kind of how was that last season for you in, back in Nashville, a place you're very familiar with?
Yeah, yeah, I live in Nashville. My family's here. I got a yard. I think a dog's around here somewhere. Yeah, I got to go to the field every day. It's 20 minutes away. And I would go to the field, we'd play a game, and I'd drive back home. And early in the season, when my kids were still in school, I could make them lunches before, you know, and see them before they go off to school. So that's kind of the dream, right? If you can't be in the big leagues, you know, play AAA where you live. And so, I don't know, I enjoyed every minute of it. The fact that my kids get to see me play baseball is very strange. If I was across country somewhere, they would only see limited games during the summer when they're out of school. And then again, they wouldn't even get to see me pitch all that much, maybe a couple batters here and there. But this year there was a need for a starter. So I actually became a starter for most of the season and still made some relief appearances too in between starts. and I pitched a lot at home. So my kids got to see me pitch a lot for the first time in, you know, several years. Probably don't even remember the last time they saw me pitch this much. And I don't know, it's kind of an amazing thing. My dad played in the big leagues before I was born. And by the time I came along, he was a coach and a manager. And that's all I knew growing up. And so I never got to see him play. And I know how special that was for me, watching my dad coach and manage and be around baseball. So I'm kind of hoping that trickles down to my kids of going, hey, this is pretty rare that you get to watch your dad play baseball and remember it. You know, it's an added bonus.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll touch on your dad in a minute because you're a second generation Major League Baseball player, which is awesome. But having your kids being able to see you and you know, be around your home turf, does that just give you more of like a positive kind of mindset going into a game because you're kind of more at ease when you're at home than maybe in a traditional sense of being, like you said, across the country on the other side?
I mean, I think I'm at an age now. Like I just finished up, I think, my 13th season. In AAA, you know, parts of AAA in the last, like, I think 13 years. And so I've played everywhere. I feel like I've not really done everything, but I've just kind of experienced a lot to where it really doesn't affect me either way. You know, I'm kind of that way everywhere I go. I enjoy baseball. I enjoy the clubhouse. I know how special it is to have a jersey. And I mean, it makes it more special. Yes, that I get to, you know, see my family more, of course, but even if I was playing, you know, on the West Coast, for the whole year, I would still have the same attitude going to the field because I think I know what it's like to not have a jersey. I know what it's like for teams not to want you. You know, that's a tough feeling. And I try to bottle that in and go, you know what? I know how special this is and how fleeting it is because it's not going to be there forever. So I walk in every day going, man, if this is my last day in the clubhouse, this is how I want to treat it. And, you know, I just kind of hope some of that rubs off, that mentality rubs off on some of the younger guys that really – I don't want them to have to go through that experience to appreciate baseball the way I've been molded to enjoy baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. And also you got that very coveted Topps baseball card. We can't forget that.
Yeah, I do have a card somewhere.
That's fantastic. But yeah, I want to transition over to your dad. You're a second generation ball player. Your dad, Steve Dillard, played for a couple teams. He played for the Red Sox. He played for the Tigers. And you kind of get, but I think he also retired, like you said, he retired right before you were born, right?
His last season, he got called up in 82 at the end of the year. They actually sent him home. He had finished in AAA and they'd sent him home, but because he was a backup, he ended up playing more than almost anybody else out there because of just, you know, flat out durability. Some of these younger guys are like, no, man, I need a day. You know, and so my dad would play third base and, you know, then the shortstop would be like, hey, I need a day. And so my next day, my dad's playing shortstop. So he ended up playing pretty much more than anybody else. And so my dad was home for like 2 weeks and he was with the White Sox at this time. And the White Sox called him and were like, hey, man, we need a, you know, utility infielder. So they called him up rather than some of the other guys because he had more experience that year. He had more at bats and he had more plays and, you know, more innings out there. And so that's kind of what I learned from him of just be healthy, you know, be out there, be ready to play no matter what, because you don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, so he thought this was going to revive his career. And he's like, oh, you know, he's ready. And at the end of the year, they're like, hey, we want you to retire and be a manager in rookie ball. So he was like, okay. You know, that's one of the hard things about baseball is, you know, you get into this world and, you know, when you're ready to transition to a new career, it gets difficult. You know, I've, applied at different places to get a job. I got turned down at a sporting goods store to work there one off season. So, you know, like you don't really know what's going to be out there as far as a career. So my dad couldn't pass it up. So he loaded the family up, drove to Florida, and was their Gulf Coast manager for the Gulf Coast team there. And anyway, yeah, I was born shortly after that, and that's all I ever knew.
Yeah, you just missed it, and just kind of doing the research and reading about your dad and teams that he played with. I mean, for the fact that he was basically the fill-in guy for Alan Trammell and Lou Whitaker at the same time. I mean, you got a Hall of Famer, and now might be a soon-to-be Hall of Famer. That's pretty good company to be the backup.
Yeah, it's interesting every year that, you know, I'll be talking to my dad or hanging out during Christmas or whatever time, and he, you know, I talk about the Hall of Fame roster. You know, and I think he's up to maybe 10 or 11 people that he played with that are in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, wow.
So that's pretty cool. I mean, he has stories, and I was writing them down. I was just there for Thanksgiving, and he was telling a story about, I forgot who it was, like, or his first major league game he ever went to when he was a kid. He saw a Tom Seaver pitch.
Oh, man.
So I thought, man, that's sick. He's never really brought that up. But watching baseball on television, watching MLB Network or whatever it is, kind of jogs his memory. You know, he'll ask me a story, and then it jogs his memory about something else. But he was, who was he telling about? I think Jim Palmer. Remember Jim Palmer?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, well, I remembered him growing up from the commercials. Where
the money
like
store,
the money,
right?
Yeah, the money store. Yeah. Jim Palmer, yeah. So that's what I remember. I just started laughing when he was like, because it came up on MLB Network, talked about he was one of the pitchers that did whatever it was. And he goes, oh, yeah. He goes, I faced him one time when I was a rookie. And I was like, really? He's like, yeah, I got called strike three on a pitch that was, you know, way out of the zone. And he's like, you know, the next day my dad's in the outfield for batting practice, you know, throwing the ball in, shagging some BP. So Jim Palmer's running poles for his little exercise after he pitches. And he comes by, and my dad, and he was like, hey, Rook. And he turns around. I was like, yeah. He goes, hey, when I'm pitching, those pitches are strikes. You don't take them. You need to swing at them. And I was like, that's awesome. You know, that's what's fun about the whole experience of, you know, seeing what my dad's gone through, seeing what I've gone through, and just know that this is the kind of stuff that does happen. It's still happening generations later. And I mean, that's what makes baseball special.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool to look back on that old footage. I wish MLB Network would use a little more of the old stuff, you know, instead of recycling some of the movies that they use all the time. I wish we would see more of that older footage. I have a very large personal collection of, like, highlight tapes that I've collected over the years, because that's really the only way you get to see some footage from teams that are not from your designated area. And but, hey, the money store did reach a larger range. I'm really happy about that. How could you forget that head of hair? Come on, that's number one.
Yeah. I just thought he was a TV personality person. Turns out the guy was a pretty good pitcher.
Yeah, no, you're definitely very pretty good. I guess when they put you in the Hall of Fame, that's pretty good. But so your dad saw Tom Seaver play in his first game. Who did you see in your first game?
I have no idea. Well, let me see. The first game I ever saw. See, I told that story. My dad, that was just his going to a game.
Yeah, no, I mean,
that
what's was, the first was, game you went to that
ooh,
you can remember?
The first game I went to that I can remember? I went to a lot of spring training games. I remember my dad was coaching for the Astros. I was probably, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8. And the Astros were playing the Braves in Kissimmee. And Ron Gant was in left field. And there was actually like nobody at the game, or maybe nothing. I don't know, something had happened. I was just kind of walking by, like really, you know, not that far from the left field. And I said, hey, what's up, Gant? And he just leans over. He was like, hey, man. Like I knew him. I don't know who Ron Gant, like he'd never met me. But my first game when I got older, I'd signed in 2003. And they give you a player's card for minor league baseball, and you get free tickets to a game. And so me and, if you remember, Tom Wilhelmsen that pitched for the Mariners,
mm-hmm.
He was in the Brewers organization. So me and him were like, hey, man, let's go to a game. So we go to a Diamondbacks game because they're playing the Dodgers, because we thought that would be a pretty sick game to go to. It was a 1-0 game. It was Kurt Schilling versus Hideo Nomo. And I think Burnett hit a solo home run or got a single and scored a guy. And then Eric Gagne came in to get the save.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, it was just kind of like a, wow, this is kind of a really cool thing. We were sitting on like the third deck behind home plate. So I think all those names are correct. but 5 years later, it was really cool because I got to actually play on the same team with Gagne in 2008. And then last year, 2019, He was my bullpen coach.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, so it's just kind of like, I don't know, very interesting. But that's something that always stuck with me.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool when you can grow up around it, obviously, and you kind of not know what to expect, but you kind of know your way around, you know, maybe a ballpark a little bit better than somebody else. So I guess just kind of, an easy question would be, like, what was your favorite ballpark to either go to as a fan or as a player? Do you have anyone that sticks out to you?
You got to go with Miller Park. You know, I don't think that's what it's called now. It's called like American Mutual Family Center for Insurance something. But anyway, yeah, Miller Park. It's just, you talk to guys around the league and the guys just love playing there. It's just a really cool spot, especially some of the things that they changed. I remember the center field wall used to be painted a little different, kind of had a glare on it, had some ivy growing out there. And some of the players were like, hey, man, I can't see the ball. So they took all that down. They put up like matte black. So it's like, it's a tough place to pitch. You know, a lot of people get they wonder why pitchers, it's hard to stick there. I'm not comparing it to maybe Coors Field, but it's a tough place to pitch. But it's just so beautiful. The fans are great. You know, the field's nice. Like just, I don't know. Maybe I'm biased. I was with the Brewers for like 16 years, so.
Yeah, you had a real long run with the Milwaukee Brewers, but that's cool because I see guys that are tied to that organization love the organization. They mm-hmm. bleed that Brewer beer, I guess you could say. Like the beer is in the veins. But that 2008 team, I mean, that was a captivating team to watch, and obviously the journey they had to the playoffs was the remarkable thing. And we just saw CC Sabathia retire and hang it up, and he was such a key part. I mean, you could still see in your head, if you're a baseball fan, you close your eyes, you see CC pumped on the mound when he gets that final out. And you remember all that very vividly. Can you kind of take us back to that that 2008 team?
Man, that was a special team. I mean, not only was it special for me, that was my first time in the big leagues. I only had maybe, I don't know, 2 months or so, but made my debut, got my first hit that year, only hit. I don't know, like you got all this stuff and you have all those personal achievements, but when it started getting, into the season where it's like, this is great. And then they make the big move and get Sabathia, and you only heard amazing things. We had a guy, David Riske, that was in the bullpen. And he came in, he was just so pumped that day. I remember he was just like, dude, we got CC. Like, they played together in Cleveland. And so CC comes in and he was just, I mean, every team needs a guy like this. He comes in, he's, larger than life. He's getting to know everybody. And I lay low, right? Because I was always taught, if you're a rookie, keep to yourself, don't talk, and, kind of just be to the side. And, someone like CC wouldn't let that happen. He wouldn't let guys go get in their shell. he'd find ways to get you out. So we had plenty of conversations, talked all the time. He'd invite me. His mom would travel with him sometimes and would like cook for him and his family and, guys on the team. And I don't know, he every day, like every game that year, he had a different pair of spikes. I thought that was crazy because he like pulls out a pair of spikes and it's like, I have one pair of spikes. He's got one for every game. I was like, this is amazing. He's putting movies on in the clubhouse on days that he would pitch. And I remember one time he put Tropic Thunder on, like a DVD. Remember those?
Yeah.
DVDs?
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
So he puts a Tropic Thunder on DVD. And a buddy of mine that was in AAA with me that year, his locker was coupled down. I kind of lean over and I'm like, is that Tropic Thunder with Ben Stiller? Guy's like, yeah. And I was like, didn't we go see that? And he goes, yeah. So we saw that a month before, like when it came out in theaters. And we're like, how in the world does he have this DVD already? It's still in theaters. But it's CC Sabathia, man. He can do whatever he wants. So anyway, he was amazing. He literally just wanted the ball. And I remember he would be one of the guys, if I could put a team together and do a 4-man rotation, you hear about people trying to have a 6-man rotation.
Yeah.
At that time, I was like, I would go to a 4-man rotation. I'd have me a knuckleballer. I'd have me CC Sabathia. I would have like a tall, lanky sinker slider guy. And, like we were just putting together our fantasy teams and he was on everybody's because not only is he a phenomenal pitcher, Hall of Fame pitcher, but he's even a better guy.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, you could see the outpouring of everybody on the way out, and his emotion was just, it was so heavy. And as a Met fan, you don't want to see the Yankees make it to the World Series, but you want to root for the players that have those great epic careers, and you almost, you know, you want to see CeCe get all the way back to the show and, you know, maybe get another ring there. So that's really cool. But as we kind of get into the latter stage here of our time together, I got to bring up the social media stuff and your presence you have online and the videos that you've created over the years. I mean, I'm not kidding here. They're hilarious. This is no exaggeration. I mean, I'm laughing out loud. I remember seeing them at the time. Like, I remember seeing them being around, but just sitting down and watching them in a lump, I mean, I'm laughing out. I was showing them to my daughter because I was like, you got to see this. These are funny. And we're laughing. And it's so cool to see the personality come out, and you get to see guys lighten up. And that is so great in a game that can be very serious at times, but kind of take us behind the psychology, if you will, of making these hilarious videos and showing your personality to the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, you know, baseball is a stressful thing. You know, everybody's like, well, you're playing a game. It's like, yeah, but you know, you're also, that's your livelihood, you know, and it's hard in the big leagues, but it's even harder at times in the minor leagues, because especially AAA, because you may walk in one day and feel good about everything and they'd be like, hey, you're fired. You know, you're released. See ya. And then it's like panic. You don't know what to do. So, you know, to alleviate all that stress, because it's a works-based thing. You have to perform. Everything comes down to how you're performing. And that's a very hard place to deal with. You know, it's only in the last probably 10 years have I seen really people trying to address that, you know, with mental skills coaches and things like that, because it's a tough thing. And so a lot of times you just guys try to kind of deal with it with, you know, playing cards or playing games. And I did that for like 10 years. I played board games or card games or cribbage or, you know, video games in the clubhouse. So 2015, I was like, let's just bump this up a notch. Let's just make some little fun videos. The Dub Smash app, somebody turned me on to it and was like, you should do stuff like this. And next thing I know, I had guys wanting to be in these videos. And the Brewers at the time were like, hey, you know, we trust you. You're not going to do anything bad, right? Like, I had built up at least enough street cred where they could not, you know, worry about me putting something out there that was controversial or, you know, something out there that's going to, you know, compromise players of the team or whatever's going on. But just look at it as like, here's a bunch of guys that do life together for 7 months. How do they interact? And so next thing you know, we're making these videos and people like them. And one thing leads to another. Next thing you know, you got guys coming to the clubhouse going, hey, man, I got a video idea. Let's do one of Dumb and Dumber. You know, we'll get the groundskeeper's car and we'll just do this. And I mean, they got elaborate at times. Sometimes they weren't even that funny. But what the whole thing was is that you come together to make a project. It's, even if it's small as a 10-second video, you're coming together, you're pulling the same direction. And guys really got into it. And I think the reason is because they need an outlet. You know, it's an outlet. You need an outlet. Everyone needs something to get away from what their concentration is. You go to work every day, heavy concentration. You got to find something to distract yourself in that way. And since we're always in baseball, we're always there. We're always at the clubhouse, always on the field, always traveling to the next city. It's hard to find that kind of release, that outlet. And so, anyway, people were very attracted to it. Not everybody. Some guys were like, I don't really want to be on film. But next thing you know, they do want to be on film. Or they have an idea. And if you have an idea, you got to be in my movie. So anyway, that's what we did. We started making these little, I don't know, you can call them therapeutic if you want. But what's funny is that the videos themselves, you know, they're great or whatever. But the process of making it is hilarious. We have such a good time. That's the most fun about it. We can't even translate that to the, you know, people watching on social media. We can't, unless have a behind the scenes camera. So I haven't gotten that elaborate yet, but it is a good time. You talk to any of those guys that have been involved, like they just, I mean, I didn't really set out to do that per se. I just want to have some fun, and one thing led to another. And, you know, I got banned on Twitter this year. So.
Yeah, I want to talk about that, but just with the videos, I mean, and if anybody hasn't seen them, Tim's got a great YouTube channel where you can see a lot of the, you know, the greatest ones, and you see his little sizzle reel, which is awesome. Gives you a great kind of depiction of it. But just your sync of, like, lip sync is fantastic. I mean, and I can appreciate that from a performer point of view. Like, you are dead on with the, whether it's a movie quote or a song vocal. I mean, you are, like, precise when it comes to the lip sync. So you got to pat yourself on the back. You can get a guy out when you throw your best pitch. And, man, you can lip sync with the best of them.
Yeah, I mean, growing up, I got two older brothers, and we used to make these VHS tapes. Remember VHS?
Know them very well.
Yeah, so we'd have these giant, camcorders, right, connected to the VCR so we could see ourselves on TV. And that's what we did. We grew up making these, like, fun little videos, little skits, almost like our own little Saturday Night Live. And that was our gift to our grandparents. And so apparently my brothers, they kind of grew up and I didn't. And so I enjoy doing that stuff. But that's where kind of I learned that skill. And what I found is that it helps, kind of break down barriers. Years ago, I did a couple of Latin songs in spring training and didn't think much of it. I asked guys like, hey, what's a very popular song? And they were like, oh, this new song, Despacito, which, of course, everyone knows it now because Justin Bieber, ruined it. But the original version is very good, and it had just come out. So I listened to it for a few days, and then we went to the field. We got into the equipment closet after practice, and we made this video. And it got retweeted by, I think Daddy Yankee may have retweeted it and liked it on Instagram. Like, all this stuff. Like, it just kept going and going. And next thing I know, guys on other teams, Latin guys, were like, hey, man, I want to be in a video. Like, this is great. You should keep doing this. And so anyway, next thing I know, I actually got invited to Univision down in Miami a couple years ago. And I danced on stage with backup dancers and pyrotechnics. And I lip sang to this song. We did a whole skit and it was on Univision. So anyway, I think the appeal there is that what I'm trying to do is I don't want to put anything out there that my own kids can't watch, And so to me, it translates to different, backgrounds, ethnics, groups, like just all of it. It's just like a spider web of everyone can watch this. Everyone can enjoy this and appreciate this, because a lot of times you're stuck. Well, this has to be rated R. Well, why can't PG be funny? So I think the idea there is that it's something for everybody. And I don't know. I'm not trying to make any enemies.
No, definitely not. But that clip is on your sizzle reel, and it's hilarious. I mean, it's just so great. And, the fact that it's for Univision, like they put it over, that's so awesome. And I do have a personal favorite, and I think it might be yours, because I saw you do an interview about it. But the Scream parody where you have Craig Counsell with the coaches, I mean, that is just hilarious. I mean, how did you come up with that idea? Because that to me that's ingenious when you watch it.
Yeah, well, I tried to get called up by the Brewers to pitch, and they said no. So I was like, oh. But then they were like, hey, we'll call you up to do social media. And I was like, hey, any way I can get there? I can't keep driving up there and knocking on the door. I got invited this time. So they were like, yeah, we'll bring you up for this series against whoever. And, we'll kind of just let you roam the clubhouse, kind of do whatever you want to do, get some guys involved if you want. And of course, I knew everyone in the clubhouse. I knew the entire coaching staff just because I'd been there so long. And I knew people that worked at the field, right? Like, I knew ticket takers and, security guardsmen and, cops that are there. So it was very easy to get access to whatever. And so I just I just brainstormed like all these ridiculous ideas. And every time I'd throw one out there, the decision makers in Milwaukee were like, sure, why not? Sure, why not? Yeah, you should do that. A few times they were like, I don't know if you're allowed to do that. That's dangerous. But I ran around the stadium. I slid down the slide. I, raced in the mascot race, So I think what I really wanted to do was show the humanity of the players and the coaches, show that just because you're serious during the game doesn't mean you don't have a personality or you're not like a, like everybody else. And so that's kind of how I conveyed it to Craig. And I was like, hey, man, I know you're the manager of this amazing team, but I'm going to need you to do this for me. And I've known him long enough. We were teammates years ago. And so he's like, yeah, absolutely. So I was like, hey, I need all your coaches. So sure enough, we did it and I put it together. And to me, it was one of the funniest ones because I know Lee Tunnell, who's the guy that's the bullpen at the time was the bullpen coach who answers the phone and right. Hears the hello, the screen guy. And just his personality going into that, like, I don't know, it was one of my personal favorites because it's kind of broke that barrier for me between a player and the coaches. You always have this standoffish thing. I grew up seeing my dad was he liked to go in the clubhouse and say hi to guys, but that's not where he hung out. He didn't want to be in there where they feel like they're under the microscope, not only on the field but in the clubhouse or at the hotel or whatever. And so I think kind of breaking that barrier of like, hey, I know you're the coaching staff and I'm the player, but let's, you know, we can be friends and we can joke around and have that relationship there. And anyway, so it's special to me in a lot of ways.
No, it's awesome. Did your dad enjoy the guys being a little bit lighter and taking part in the videos? Did he like that, knowing the stress that baseball has?
Yeah. Yeah, he enjoys it. I mean, my mom joined Twitter just so that she could watch my videos. But then I got suspended or taken off Twitter.
Get into that if you can. I mean, it's like, everything I'm seeing, you're like, I don't get it. I don't understand. Like, so what happened? You just woke up one day and you were off?
Yeah, we were playing the Dodgers in Oklahoma City. And, you know, it's hard to beat me to the baseball field, especially on the road. You know, so I'm in the clubhouse. It's probably like me and only a couple of the clubbies are there. I probably get there before the coaches. So I'm just chilling. I'm not doing anything. I was maybe thinking about writing an article or, you know, my brain can't stop. That's the curse I have. It's just always going. And so I'm piddling around doing something. And a guy walks in and was like, hey, man, it's like, thanks. I was like, for what? He's like, something's going on with your Twitter, man. I think you just blocked me. I was like, what? I don't even know how to do that. And another guy walks in and was like, dude, something's wrong with your Twitter. So I pull it up and it was like, congratulations, you've been suspended by Twitter. I was like, what? So they couldn't let me do anything. I couldn't delete anything or I couldn't add anything or couldn't see anything. It took followers away, took away everybody I was following. And this was like in May, right? So the season had just started, I feel like. And I'm like, that's one of my funnest things, you know, is dropping that shroud in the clubhouse to let people in on, you know, what we do and, you know, have that kind of fun. And they just blocked me. Like they just said, this is it. No more suspended. Boom. And no explanation other than, let's see, about 3 months went by, I think. And I got an email during my son's Little League game. It was about to start. And this email popped up and it was from Twitter. And I thought it was spam, but I was like, I better click it. And I clicked it and said, congratulations. You've been unsuspended on Twitter. You were suspended for copyright infringement on 8 videos.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, oh, see, I suspected it was because of copyright, but they really, the way it works is there is no phone number. You can't call Twitter. It only works by emails and they can choose to email you or not. So I appealed and never heard anything back from them. It's all auto responses and, you know, didn't get anywhere. Next thing I know, I'm like at the Suns game, like looking, I'm like, wow, I'm off Twitter. And I checked my Twitter and it was all back. So I went and deleted all the, there was a Mariah Carey video. Apparently I'm not Mariah Carey, but there was an Eminem video, I think. And then I can't remember the rest. One of them was from Hitch. If you remember the movie Hitch with Will Smith. Yeah. We had done a scene. I did it with super prospect Lewis Brinson, I think, who's now with the Marlins.
Yeah.
Struck him out this year. He also hit a couple doubles off of me. But either way, we were in this video together and I had to take that one down. So anyway, Instagram hasn't found me yet.
Yeah, that's like, they're so strict with that now. I mean, even I know with YouTube, if you have anything in the background of a video, it could be you walking through a store and copyrighted music is playing behind you, or you could be in a room where there's a television in the far distance. I mean, if they catch it, they're bots or they're crazy tech that they've got. You're liable for a copyright strike or a banning or a suspension. So that's unbelievable. So how long did it take for you to kind of get back in it?
I mean, I think I posted a picture right away. And then I was like, well, I got to make a comeback video. So I made a comeback video where it was like compilation of, you know, I did the exact same thing. It was more copyright stuff, infringement. And anyway, I just made a bunch of little clips and did a little skit to kind of say, thanks for having me back, Twitter. But I don't know. I mean, I think we're friends now. I haven't talked to anybody there, but I'm friends of my end.
And that's great to know. Yeah. And that's obviously, you know, how we got to connect, which is awesome. And, you know, as we're going to get into the wrap up here, I really appreciate you coming on and spending a few minutes just to talk about, you know, parts of your career and obviously the social media stuff, which again, we're going to hit it home. I mean, this needs to be seen if you are a fan of laughing, if you're not even a baseball fan, if you just like to laugh at random stuff. I mean, the movie parodies, the song parody, it's so great. And I love seeing that extension of a personality, especially of a ball player. So that's really cool. Well,
yeah. And that's the thing. I think what people don't know is like ball players have personalities too. And a lot of them are very creative, very fun. And we're only seeing that in the last, you know, 5 or 6 years where it's okay to express yourself, you know, because you're in a job where they tell you what to do, where to go, what to wear, you know, how to pitch, how to swing, where to be, travel, you know, and you don't really have any ways of expressing yourself. And so that's what I have found. I have teammates. I'm like, wow, man, they're super creative. They're, you know, they're good actors. And that's kind of what we put together. We just put together a fun time. It's on, you know, I'm on Twitter at Dim Tillard. I'm at Instagram at Dim Tillard. And I think what it is, you know, because we're not actors, it's just funny. It's just funny because we don't get paid to do this. We just do it for fun. And I think what my ultimate goal is, I want other people at their job, whatever their job is, to do stuff like that. You know, get to know your coworkers, get to know, you know, get into their lives, have that intimate relationship going, listen, we're doing life together. And so let's be friends. And I mean, let's just have a good time.
Yeah, now you see the animation, the personalities coming out more. I think social media has a lot to do with that. Guys are a little more comfortable maybe than they were. But before, I got to ask you one last question because it just triggered as we were just saying, that, you know, talking about guys being a little more sure. open. What do you think about, like, the evolution of the bat flip as a pitcher? Do you think that – no, serious. Like, guys, I think it's a direct correlation to the social media stuff that people and guys are letting their personalities come out, so the celebrations are getting crazier. But these bat flips, it's like, you know, home run in the fourth inning and they're bat flipping. As a pitcher, what do you think about that?
I don't know. I mean, I hit a home run in AAA like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and I didn't flip the bat, only because I was like, man, if this hits the wall, I better be on second, right? Because I had Keon Broxton hitting behind me. He was in the leadoff spot, and I was like, if I'm not on second base, then what if he hits a single and I can't score? You know, I just cost him an RBI. So I wasn't really thinking like, hey, I need to bat flip it. But some guys have already planned it out. It seems like they were like, man, if I had a home run right here, I'm going to throw it like this. And I don't really care. I've seen some real fights over it though. I've been involved. I haven't really punched anybody, but like I've been running out there, like I'm going to, you know, but it's a big deal. It strikes a nerve with a lot of people. And I'm just one of these guys. Like, I mean, I don't try to show anybody up off the mound except for sometimes the umpire. You know, if I know that I'm right and he's wrong, but that's not okay. That's a hard thing because you don't really want your kids doing it, because then you see these little league, you know, clips on social media where there's kids that are bat flipping, you know, it's, well, where are they learning that? You know, they're learning that from what they're watching on TV. And so some guys don't care. You know, they're like, I'm going to hit a home run, throw the bat as high as I can. If no one's going to do anything about it. If you want to do that, that's fine. But it's just disrespectful as the lower it gets. And if we want our kids to watch baseball, then, you know, that's where they're going to get it from. How many people took a bat, wiffle ball bat, got out in the yard and wanted to hit like Griffey?
Yeah.
Right. Or Gary Sheffield from our generation. Like, that's what you're emulating. So if you're throwing the bat in the air, or if the pitcher's, you know, I don't know what the pitcher does, points or yells, or I don't know, fist pumps on a strikeout, whatever it is. I usually pray. Like, I'm like, thank God that guy didn't hit a home run. I throw a pitch and it's like strike out. And I look around. I'm like, are we sure? Are we sure? And like, you know, the guy walks back to the dugout and I'm like, oh, good. Like, to me, it's more of a breath of fresh air. Like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, that's great.
Rather than, oh, yeah, well, I got you out. But I don't know. People can do whatever they want. I've given up home runs. I've seen some bat flips and I don't really care because, I mean, what am I going to do? They don't really. They're not, what are they going to do? Apologize? Like, it's not, I'm not offended by that. Right. I'm not, needless to say, if someone does that next year, you know, I don't think I'll hit them, but I may be like, hey, try to throw it higher next time.
Hey, there was a bird flying overhead. You were two inches from aim higher, but,
yeah, the bat boy's trying to work and you're throwing it in the stands. What's up, man?
Yeah, exactly. It's interesting. Hey, and if you saw Gary Sheffield posted a video the other day on Twitter hitting bombs, direct center field bombs still at 51 years old. So go Gary, go.
Yeah, well, I did a Twitter poll about like a week and a half ago, and it was who would you want to see hitting in a home run derby? You know, like the guys that are on the Hall of Fame ballot, like right now, like Bonds and let's see, Sheffield. I forgot the other two at the just offhand, but you know, these guys that could they still hit home runs at age? I think Manny Ramirez was on there. Yeah. You know, when you start getting 48, 50, 55, whatever, could they still do it? And what I thought was interesting is, yeah, he puts a video out there just dropping bombs because guys are just your body. If you're doing something like playing baseball, it's a repetition thing. You do it so much that your body is just kind of broken to that pattern, right? So like pitchers can roll out of bed and just, this is their mechanics. They can do it. Hitters, they just, their body's been, you know, shaped so they can swing. So it doesn't surprise me at all. I used to have coaches, managers that were, you know, older than that that could still hit during batting practice. So it's a gift.
Yeah, Darryl Strawberry, you know, was still stepping in the box a couple years ago and in some of the minor league parks and knocking them out. So,
Julio Franco's still playing somewhere.
Yeah, he's exactly. Yeah, without a doubt. No, he's immortal. I think he's got some of that that immortal blood. But no, this
he's like the Latin, like Benjamin Button. Like he's kind of going the other way. Yeah, oh, he's getting younger.
He absolutely is. He was great. He was a former Met. He was fantastic when they had him. So, we'll get into the close here. I really appreciate you coming on. Again, you plugged your Twitter briefly. I'll give it to you again. You also have a website where you got so many cool things on there. You've got links to everything. You've got a link literally to nothing. Yes, I did fall for it. And you got some sweet merchandise with a really cool logo. So please share with the listeners of the program where they can find your social media, your website, everything.
Yeah, well, basically, if you type in Dim Tillard into your whatever, something's going to pop up, because I was trying to use Tim Dillard, and there's like 25 or 50 in existence on social media, so I had to go with Dim Tillard, because that's what John Axford used to call me. He used to call me Dim Tillard, so that's why I did it.
And there you go. And that's also the website as well, correct?
Yeah, dimtillard.com.
Dimtillard.com. Yeah, get yourself over there. Hit the button to nothing. fall for it like me, like a big idiot. So, Tim, I appreciate you coming on. Best of luck to you this coming year. Hopefully, some fine ball playing for you. And, happy rest of this year and a happy new year for next year.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you. Hopefully, we'll talk again.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. The Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed. We dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years as well, by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth search projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture.